If we may, I'd like to call this meeting to order. All right, I'd like to call the meeting to order. My name is Mark Crum. I'm the chair of this committee, and I'd like to make a few personal comments. First of all, I've read through your emails, plus additional emails, telephone calls, and I'd like to thank you for your directness and your honesty, and yes, your timeliness. If there's any responsibility or comments relating to late notice, inadequate information, bad news, surprises, and the one I liked is, because I can relate to this, need time to contemplate, I take full responsibility for that. But please understand that I don't go out in this world trying to be stupid on purpose. I try to have good intentions, and I think without your help, and the help of this committee and staff's help, I'll be able to do better. And in terms of responsibility, if your dog threw up on your carpeting before you left, yep, I can take responsibility for that as well. Yeah, well, you're welcome. I must admit that I really love this. It's a positive example and demonstration of freedom and democracy. And this is really very special to me in my heart, in my mind, and to all of you, again, thank you. So, onward. Oh, yes. Ed, you were wanting to make a motion? Roll call.
Maribel Alvarez?
Present.
Patrick Robles?
Present.
Jennifer Darlin? Ed Hendel?
Present.
Alexis Kailani Dudois. Bobby Jaramillo.
Present.
Mark Crum.
Present.
Madam Clerk, with five members present, a quorum of the Redistricting Advisory Committee.
Approval of minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as is.
A second.
For that, for both meetings. Understood. All in favor, or is there a second? Yes.
I second it.
Can the motion duly made and seconded? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Okay, the motion to approve the minutes. All right, now, public hearing. I'll give an introduction on the redistricting process before we begin the actual public hearing. The Redistricting Advisory Committee was created by public initiative and adopted by voters in 1993. The responsibilities of the committee are to review relevant United States Census data to determine and advise the mayor and council whether redistricting of the city ward boundaries is necessary. We determined, in fact, that redistricting is necessary, and so we are here to gather citizen input to make a written recommendation to the mayor and council.
Chairman Crum.
Recommendation will include we believe districting should occur.
Chairman Crum, I just want to be sure that members of the public can hear your comments. I think they'll be essential. Okay,
I'm sorry. Federal requirements for redistricting better? Thank you. The one person, one vote requirement of the United States Constitution requires members of an elected body to be drawn from districts, here wards, of substantially equal population. A city's redistricting plan's constitutional validity under one person, one vote is measured by MPD. The MPD measures the total percentage spread between the city's most underrepresented and most overrepresented. The goal is that an MPD should be less than 10%, which the Supreme Court of the United States considers a minimal deviation and presumptively constitutionally valid. City charter requirements. Any city redistricting plan must comply with the Tucson City Charter. In 1993, the city's voters amended Chapter 16, Section 1A to state, no redistricting plan shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring or disfavoring any political party or person, nor for the purpose of diluting the voter strength of any racial or ethnic minority group to the extent reasonably practicable. Wards shall be equal in population and shall be contiguous and compact. Additional policy objectives to accomplish the plan are, in addition to reduce the maximum population deviation, we must give preference to options that will advance rough proportionality of minority voting power, as well as options that reduce dilution that may otherwise existing from prior packing or fragmenting, and two, reduce voter confusion by realignment of precincts having populations represented by more than one ward. The MPD is calculated by dividing the total population of the city of Tucson by six wards, resulting in an ideal target for each ward. The percentage of persons over or under the target population is the MPD for each ward. The goal is to create a plan that is to create a plan of less than 10% citywide, which the Supreme Court again considers presumptively constitutional. The current MPD citywide is 13.4%. At the meeting of October 26th, the committee voted to hold a public hearing on November 3rd to invite public input on the map labeled Proposal 1. And in parallel, the city's clerk's office was directed to generate additional proposals to create a third majority minority ward to get below 10% MPD with the movement of fewer precincts and to provide alternative options. The additional proposals are labeled Proposal 2 and Proposal 3. With that introduction, ladies and gentlemen, This is the time and place for a public hearing on the redistricting proposals. To best facilitate the public hearing, we will listen to the speakers and hold responses or discussions until after the public hearing. Speakers are limited to 5-minute presentations. Please come forward when I call your name and make your presentation. State your name, whether you live in the city, whom you are representing, and whether you are a paid speaker. So,
before we start the hearing, I'd like to make a quick motion that we keep the hearing open after today. I know a lot of people had comments, particularly on how quickly the process is moving, and not everyone was able to make it in person today. So I just want to make sure people have a chance to come at the continuation of the public hearing. We'll discuss the date at the end of the meeting today, but I just wanted to quickly make the motion that we keep it open after today.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is passed unanimously. Thank you very much for doing that. So, the first person, Deborah Zelnia.
Hello. I am representing myself. I'm a resident of the Broadmoor neighborhood, which is Precinct 82, and we're currently split between Ward 5 and 6. And I've been a resident there for 18 years and have worked really closely with Ward 6 on a number of projects, including the Broadway Village renovation and pad development, the Broadway widening, which even though the street is done, we're just beginning on the development of the buildings and the businesses, as well as the Reed Park redevelopment. And so I would like not to be separated from Ward 6 because we have so much activity going on that's adjacent to our neighborhood. And I also feel like our neighborhood is, our concerns are around these spaces. And if we go into Ward 5, then I feel like we've developed kind of a long relationship with the staff at Ward 6 on all of these really active projects right now. So I'm opposed personally to the Proposal 1, which moves us completely into 5. And I also felt like Proposal 1 appears to have the most disruption, you know, moving the most pieces, whereas 2 and 3 seem to move fewer of the precincts around and actually keep our neighborhood in Ward 6, which I prefer. So thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Next speaker, the name is Moss.
Hello, everyone. My name is Moss. I'm a lifelong Tucsonan. I'm an unpaid speaker, and I currently live in Feldman's. First, I think that the redistricting decisions, as kind of we heard about the requirements, should not be based on relationships with ward offices, since those have the chance of changing every 4 years. Looking at the proposals, they seem to reinforce Tucson's racial and ethnic segregation by continuing to gerrymander Hispanic and Latinx voters into Ward 1 and Wards 5. While I understand that race and ethnicity aren't the only demographic characteristics that matter when it comes to representation, we know it to be a reasonable proxy for a lot of different other demographic variables. Given that the 2020 census determined that 44% of Tucsonans identify as Hispanic and Latinx, and then 43% of Tucsonans identify as white, I'm concerned that these redistricting proposals do not reflect our community's demographics and will maintain the disproportionate power that white voters have in electing a majority of the council members, despite being a majority minority community. I don't mean to imply that the city clerk's office have made these maps with nefarious intentions by any means. It really looks like it's a path of least resistance in achieving 90,000 residents per ward by shuffling around these border precincts. I will echo the concerns about the minimal public input that was given through this process and kind of a surprise two maps that came out, I think, yesterday. That said, I really encourage to go forward with proposal three, if these are the only options available to us, as it impacts the fewest number of people. Plus, as noted, Tucson is, being a majority minority community, it makes sense that major economic hubs like downtown and Fourth Avenue are under the jurisdiction of one of the two majority Hispanic and Latinx wards. Anyways, there are, and in many of these precincts that are affected in these switches, in the downtown region, they have historic Mexican American, they historically were Mexican American neighborhoods that were destroyed through racist urban renewal practices that gutted the barrios to accommodate white economic interests. Somehow, Proposal 3 seems like a really tiny symbolic gesture to acknowledge that history and can hopefully set us down a path to repair the harms that the city has inflicted on our Hispanic and Latinx neighbors. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, Mike Weingarten. Garten.
This one live. Yeah, good. And my name's Mike Weingarten. I live in the Broadway Village neighborhood, so city resident. I am here representing myself, but also the Neighborhood Association for Broadway Village, and I am not a paid speaker. We're basically speaking in pretty strong opposition to the proposal that would move the Broadway Village neighborhood into Ward 5 from Ward 6. This was recommended in 2016. And we had a pretty good showing at that point of neighbors that were opposed. And it was decided to leave us in Ward 6 at that point. And not much has changed in terms of why we feel that it's important to stay in Ward 6. I understand about needing to rebalance the numbers between the wards. That is clearly a need. I also understand that we are in precinct 82, and 82 is split. It's one of those precincts that are split between wards 5 and 6. And it's clear that the city has an interest in trying to unify precincts under a common ward, all else equal, because that brings administrative simplicity. But in our case, we really feel that all else is not equal. Our neighborhood shares common interests and needs and identity with the other neighborhoods in Ward 6. And it greatly benefits from the fact that there is a common ward representation of all those neighborhoods, including us, on those issues with city council. I think about issues and interests regarding the Broadway widening project, the Sunshine Mile. I think about our recent achievement as having historic district status and the special needs associated with that. I think about our neighborhood's many connections to the University of Arizona. I think about where most of our residents shop, work, attend schools, play, and worship. Those areas are basically within areas that are in Ward 6. Ward 5 neighborhoods have their own very real, very legitimate interests and needs that are just different from what those needs are in terms of Broadway Village's needs. I would fully expect that if that move were to take place, Mr. Fimbres or whoever is in that seat would do their very best to represent us. But the issue, I think, is that the coherence of the representation would be very, very different from the way it is right now. That having us within the umbrella of other Ward 6 neighborhoods that are having similar interests is greatly beneficial to all of us, to all of those neighborhoods. And I worry that such a move would really negatively impact the level of representation we would have in years to come. So our request is understand the numbers, but please don't let just the exercise with numbers or the effort in trying to get administrative simplicity outweigh the quality of the representation that these areas are getting. I think those are more important. Lastly, I will just say that there are a number of people from our neighborhood that's here. I guess I'll ask them to stand, give you a feel for the people who have come in support of this. I'm also told that we have, thank you, had about 40 responses so far, with very short notice, I understand. About 40 responses, all unanimously opposed to the idea of moving our neighborhood into Ward 5. So there's quite a bit of interest within the neighborhood on this. And I believe that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Meredith Aronson.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for allowing us an opportunity to have an opinion in this matter. I'm Meredith Aronson. I live in the city of Tucson. I am not a paid speaker. I'm missing something in that. There's one more question. There's something else I'm supposed to say before I talk. No help. Okay. We're moving along. I don't want to reiterate the comments of my fellow neighbors, but I do want to add in the Broadway Village context, there are a few things, few observations I'd like to add to the record with regards to why it might make sense in particular now for our interest in staying aligned with Ward 6, and that would be Proposals 2 and 3. We have, over the last couple of years, engaged in a couple of topical conversations, one to do with the Reed Park Zoo, Reed Park, and of course Sunshine Mile. These topics and these concerns have activated the neighborhood in really interesting ways that most topics don't get people out to build conversation. And so when you think about what are those contexts, the neighborhood worked together with other neighborhood associations along Sunshine Mile in the first phase of this project, right? Because now the work continues. What's going to get built out along Sunshine Mile is of particular importance to Midtown, and in many ways much less important to Ward 5. The Reed Park Zoo and the interactions on the northern end around the Reed Park Zoo and revisiting the public process on Reed Park Zoo were, again, activating multiple neighborhood associations and the neighborhoods around us together on topics of interest. To separate our neighborhood into Precinct 82, into Ward 5, dilutes our ability to join with topics of critical local and daily interest to the people who live in our neighborhood. People walk in Reed Park, right? People visit and use the businesses along Broadway. These are far more intentional and interesting and important to people's day-to-day lives necessarily than development at the airport, for example. Development along 22nd will certainly impact us, but not as much as Sunshine Mile. And so when we consider which of the proposals and consider the impact, not just of redistricting, but of where our attentions as a neighborhood are in affecting change, I would say very firmly within Ward 6, our intentions and where we activate as a neighborhood have been to these large projects that are right to our north. So with that, I'd like to, again, ask for your consideration of our ability to remain with Ward 6 as we are today in Proposals 2 and 3 or any future proposals on the table. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, Catherine Weasel.
Hello. My name is Catherine Weasel. I reside in Ward 1 District, and I have been a paying taxpayer for over 20 years, been in the same home for over 20 years. I'm on the west side, And I like the West Side the way it is. And if you're going to do anything, going north is a good proposal. On proposal number one, I would appreciate that. I want to stay away from going downtown more because it does not fit our lifestyle on the West Side. I don't know how many of you know about the West Side, but we're a little different. And we do not hang with U of A. We do not hang with downtown. And like the gentleman before me said, they have taken away a lot of our barrios. They've taken away a lot of our nuance, our natural, open, undeveloped spaces with a matter of a flick of a pen. And I don't like that. And so I feel that this proposal needs more time, more research, more development, and let's not rush this. But if you're going to go as Ward 1 representative like I am, I will go for proposal number one. Thank you.
All right.
Next speaker, Christina Schultz.
Hello, my name is Christina Schultz. I am a resident of Tucson. I am not a paid speaker. I currently reside in Ward 3 under Precinct 43 in the newly reestablished Bronx Park neighborhood. I also stand before you as president of the Neighborhood Association. If I knew it was easy and that you would actually have read my emails, I would have done that. I'm a little bit nervous. But I also represent a neighborhood where engagement isn't the norm, where we don't have internet access for many of our residents. And when I think about the changes that we do want to make, as we've heard before from our other representatives here, what we've built with the current Ward 3 office, that's something special. And we have been through, as you know, for Ward 3, this is our third council member since the inception of our neighborhood association. So to build on that relationship, to prioritize what little interest we do have in what we can control, we found really willing partners in Ward 3. And for that reason, I would encourage that Proposal 1 be reconsidered. And I would put my effort behind Proposal 2 and 3 so that Precinct 43 can remain with Ward 3. Thank you very much.
Right, Betsy Larson.
Hi, guys. All right, so I came in a little bit heated because we just got word on proposal number 3. I apologize. I'm going to start over. My name is Betsy Larson. I am not a paid speaker, and I'm here on behalf of West University Neighborhood Association. We are 44 district, and proposal number 3 has some drastic changes for us, and we just got word of that last night. I was just finally able to open up the map today. I think a lot of us are kind of caught off guard by all of this. So, Ed, thank you. I want to, the continuance of this discussion, I think, is very much warranted. We do not have an opinion because we haven't had time to talk to the business owners along 4th Avenue, along University, that are going to be impacted by this, much less the residents. So I think not only do we need time, but a couple more meetings would be really beneficial. So I think that's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. John Burr.
Honorable Chair and Council Members, thank you for having me. My name is John Burr. I live in Armory Park in the city. I am currently the Development Chair of ATNA. I've been asked to speak for us, although there are several other members here tonight. I, too, was a little surprised when the flurry of emails came about yesterday notifying us of proposal number 3, and I've looked into it. I actually listened to your meeting. I want to thank you all for having great comments and doing your best to steer a very thoughtful process. I know Mark's been on this before several times, and I've kind of watched these things. I want to go on record saying that Armory Park and the neighbors we have talked to in Precinct 45 are opposed to Proposition Number 3. The problem I see with it is all of the historic districts downtown, all of the HPZs, all of the IID, all of the Tucson Del Norte corridor, all of the economic corridor, and all of the other things that affect us, that we have commonality and interest with the other historic neighborhoods downtown, would be transferred exclusively to Ward 1, who has publicly stated that she is antagonistic to historic preservation and thinks it's an outdated mode. So we don't feel we would have very good representation. Currently, Armory Park is split between Ward 5 and Ward 6. Ward 6 has actually served our interest and taken over because we rarely hear from Ward 5, and that's been the case for almost a decade. So I understand your interest in not having split districts, but I don't think any of these three maps actually work. I understand that 13.54% won't work and isn't clear, and that you do need to get more proportional representation because of movement in the demographics over the number of years. But perhaps some split wards and some merging of other proposals might be a better way forward. You all said 82 was probably going to object, and here they are tonight. But we need to go on the record for Barrio Viejo. I'm not speaking for them, but the HPZs, Barrio Viejo, West University, Armory Park, and El Presidio would all be moved, and the Ward 1 office is not set up to deal with the impacts of all downtown development or represent any of us or our voice. So we urge you to not do Proposition 3. Thank you.
Next speaker, Chris Gans. Chris Gans.
Good evening, Chris Gans. I'm a resident of Tucson. I'm not a paid speaker. I'm a resident of West University neighborhood for 40 years, and we've worked closely with Ward 6 for many years to help maintain our historic status. And we want to maintain that with one district, which is District 6. We've had successful engagements with Ward 6 and dealing with different issues of the neighborhood, splitting it between Ward 6 and Ward 1. And we're one of the five historic districts in Tucson, eight historic preservation zones, would not be beneficial to our neighborhood. We have fought hard and long to maintain our historic district, and we want to keep it that way, and we want to keep it the way it is. And so I'm asking you to toss Proposal 3 out, both for number 044 and 045, and leave it in Ward 6. And I think that would be best for all of those of us that live and work in that area, and having the support of Ward 6, which has been consistent throughout issues that we've dealt with for the last, well, at least with Steve Kay, for the last 15 years. So I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, David Bachman-Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Bachman-Williams. I'm a resident of Armory Park. I'm the president of the Neighborhood Association, and I am not a paid speaker. I would like to, first of all, thank you all for your work. As a retired American government teacher, I used to have my students redistrict the city of South Tucson, and in 5 years, they came up with only two identical maps. So I know there's a zillion ways to redistrict any city or map. You know, if you can divide South Tucson 48 different ways, you can certainly divide Tucson by hundreds of different ways. Representing Armory Park, I would like to say that we were surprised by, the map number 3, which showed up just yesterday afternoon and late afternoon. And we were dismayed because we have an excellent relationship with our ward. We have lots of issues, very similar to some of the other ones tonight. We're in one of those precincts that inevitably has lots of issues that deal with how our neighborhood is affected by this, that, and the other. So it is very important to us that we have a very good relationship with the staff at Ward 6, and we would very much like to keep it that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Barry DeCamp.
Hello. My name's Mary DeCamp. I am a city resident. I am not retained by anyone. I'm in precinct 246, and I'm not even affected here. I don't have a dog in this fight. And it is so nice to be back in public, in a civil gathering, with familiar faces who are intent on finding solutions that work for everybody. And I think that is our strength. Tucson is so marvelous. In this past month, I did paint the street in front of the Children's Museum. I did the downtown Meet Me at Maynard's mural tour with music. I did Cyclovia. I mean to say, we have got a marvelous city here. And many of you are to thank for that. Your hard work, your dedication, your showing up is, it gets me emotional. I want to say shame on you, though, for the quickness of this process, for not inviting these voices and building on their strengths. We need more bridges. We need communication with one another in these types of arenas. And I just applaud everybody, especially the ones who aren't paid to be here tonight, which I think is the majority. And for the city workers who are probably underpaid and overworked and short-staffed, a special salute to you for your years of service. I'd also like to put in a plug for community conservation centers, little mini civic centers that can be spread throughout the city that offer outreach that help the people who aren't here, the people who don't have homes and neighborhoods and stability, the more transient among us, to help steer them towards services that are available. Our volunteerism in Tucson is off the charts. I see that with Cyclovia. I see that with so many of the events. And we could leverage that if we would develop residences across the whole city where people could go to learn what they need to do, how they can plug in, how we can catch each other's backs as volunteers, a safety net that makes us all live a little better life in community. And I would also change the artwork in the front. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here tonight that would like to be heard on this item? Yes. Martha McClements.
Good evening. My name is Martha McClements. I live downtown Tucson on 16th Street. I wish I were a paid speaker, but I am not. And I'm representing myself mostly, but I am the chair of the Armory Park Historic Zone Advisory Board. You guys are between a rock and a hard place for sure, and I appreciate, as we has been stated by more than once, volunteering for this city. And you just kind of feel like an unpaid staff person sometimes. I've been doing that for coming on 8 years on this shift. Redistricting is an issue. It is a problem. As stated before, our main concern is keeping the historic districts with a known commodity that has been very supportive for all of us. The development needs in this town, the housing needs in this town, need to be carefully constructed with cooperation with the Historic Advisory and the HPZ, preserving Tucson's history. We all live in a tiny slice of that in the HPZ zones, and we do our best. We don't want to see this wiped away. And I have a really bad feeling about changing the district, the ward designation at this point could open up some scary prospects. For example, and needless to say, the late call and the maps coming in within 24 hours, 48 hours, that's a crock of doo-doo. And Mark, you know better. I know you. You're very, very good about doing stuff by the book. So thank you for apologizing for that. That was an oofta.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And you want to come back on my board anytime? I'd love to have you back. Excellent. He knows his stuff. He's one of these guys that has worked his ass off for years and years and years. And what does he get for us? Us coming and giving him grief because he made one oofta. Anyway, I think you get the feeling tonight, at least from our neighborhood, number three, just round can that one. Keep hard at work. Keep us informed. Let us know how you keep doing. And unfortunately, you're not done yet. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One more speaker, Matthew Ostermeyer.
Good evening. My name is Matt Ostermeyer. I'm not a paid speaker. I am here representing Iron Horse Neighborhood Board. I can't say I'm representing the neighborhood because we only had a day to sort of get our thoughts together as a board. But I just want to add to the other historic neighborhoods concerns about proposal number three, our working relationship with Ward 6 on our park currently that is just about to start being refreshed and redone. We've worked with them on a giant development at 4th and 9th, which is going to right at the edge of our neighborhood, which is currently ongoing as well. And one thing that I didn't think of until I was sitting here, but if you look at the makeup of our neighborhood, you would see a very large percentage are students at the University of Arizona. And thinking about separating their interests sort of as students from the university proper doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense to me either. Just thinking about the number of students who walk over to the university that would be in a different ward with proposal number three as well. So, and same concerns about just timeline and hoping to have more time to provide more formalized input from our neighborhood more broadly as well. But thanks for your work.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Bonnie Polis.
Good evening. My name is Bonnie Polis. I live in Precinct 57, which is not affected by the current proposals for redistricting. I am not a paid speaker, but I am someone who beat the drum about tonight's meeting because many of us who are involved in the community had no clue that this meeting was happening, that progress had been made on redistricting, and I felt that the process had failed us once again. But I would like to thank all of you who have served on this committee and are here tonight, because this is probably one of the more difficult committees to be seated on, and involves a lot of issues that go beyond the simple fact of balancing our population. I think that in the future, when new maps are contemplated and precincts are looked at or neighborhoods are looked at for redistricting, that the first person who should be contacted is the ward office, so that they can notify their constituents that this is in the works and there may be a possible change to who represents them politically. That hasn't been done, to my knowledge, and I think that several of the council members were as much surprised by the information that came out recently as we all were. And I think it's important because we live in very politically volatile times right now. To assume that who represents us should be discarded and not considered in this decision-making process is not realistic in today's times. But I also think that demographically, we are a community that tries to come together. If you look at how we hold our elections, we select our candidates by ward, but we all participate in the decision as to who represents us. That means that if we feel we're not being adequately represented by the individual who's seated in the office of our ward, that we have the right and the obligation to seek out the council members who will represent us. And I think that's very powerful in our community, and I think it's done us well. I also do not think that we should look at past racial injustices that most none of us were here making those decisions when they were made, when our charter was written, when our community was planned out. We're here today, and we're trying to work together, and I'd like to emphasize that the process and the optics of how you make your decision is probably just as important as the decision that you make. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Seeing none, I would like to entertain a motion to continue public hearing. We've done that. Thank you very much. Well, then, move on to item number 4.
Mr. Chairman? Chairman Crum?
Yes.
I would first like to thank everyone for coming out this evening. It's crucial that we have members of the public involved in these conversations. But it's clear to me that we have to go back to the drawing board. I don't believe that neighborhoods should be split in half, but I believe we're missing a key part of the conversation, and that is the Hispanic and minority populations in these districts, in these wards. We're a majority minority city, yet we only have 2 wards that are majority minority. So I'd like to communicate with my colleagues on this dais this evening that we speak to the members of this council who appointed us and look at what we can do to at least have 1 or 2 more majority minority wards.
Yeah, I just want to address that comment. I believe at the last meeting we passed a motion to have staff create a proposal that would have a 3rd majority-minority ward, which would then bring us into compliance with the rough proportionality principle. Suzanne, do you want to speak to that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have spent some time in the clerk's office moving precincts around on a map, to create a third majority minority ward, and we've not been successful without having to move tens of thousands of people. And it's just the nature of the demographics and where people are located now. That's something that we would have to continue working on to try to achieve, and would have to do so with your direction and quite a bit of your input to get there.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for putting in the time. That definitely would be a difficult project, and I'm sure we'll discuss it more right now, but just wanted to thank you for putting in the work to make all these different maps on very short notice. The process has been very rushed, but we appreciate the work that staff has done.
Thank you very much for all the comments, everyone. A couple of thoughts occurred to me. And one is that the first proposal tries to accomplish administratively a metric that is offered by the Supreme Court of the deviation. And it does that. But the Supreme Court has also spoken clearly about other metrics and other criteria that is as equally important as a rationale for having redistricting. And that is rough proportionality and voter dilution. So somebody said between a rock and a hard place. That's exactly right, because you have not just a triangle now, you have a square, because you have to here address the dilution, the deviation that will stand up, right? Then here you have to have rough proportionality for majority-minority. That's also upheld by the Supreme Court. Here you have to then consider Hispanic majority voter dilution. And I just said it last week and say it again. If we were in New Orleans, that would be a different majority and a different dilution. But here we are in Tucson, so we have to consider the Hispanic population. And then fourth, you also have to put in that square the cultural significance of the districts, of the wards as they exist, as people have talked about. So that's a really, I mean, on paper and on principle, you would say that's an impossible job. How do you do justice to all those four principles at the same time? Now, as the commission, we have been asked or charged under oath to actually uphold point one, two, and three, and then consider humanely as neighbors, because we also are residents of Tucson, point four. But that really is sort of the hierarchy of our charge. And that's something that we're going to have to talk about in a way that is probably not in proposal one, two, or three in any way. So I agree with my peer here that how do we do that? Something is going to have to give in that, because the way that you can move is only on the outer edges of those boards. You can't go in the middle and take someone and put it back here. It's not trellis, right? So you have to only move clockwise, this way, in order to achieve it on the edges. And that method alone may not give us any of the maps that satisfy one, two, or three. Now, here's a thought. 90,000 people per ward is a lot of people. I did a little bit of research, and Chicago has 50,000 per alderman. So maybe there's a little bit of a push of the imagination here that part of this redistricting is a little heavy lifting of reimagining the wards altogether, which are arbitrary measures anyway, whether they're split or not split. As somebody said, you know, Ward 1 is busy with a whole bunch of things. Ward 6 is busy. So that's something else that I think I want to throw on the record, the necessity for us to consider those four points of decision in relationship to also the self-imposed rule that we have given ourselves, that is roughly 90,000 people per ward. That doesn't have to be. We can create other wards. We can create other ways in which the map can be drawn. I don't know that we'll have time to do that in the next 3 weeks, but it sure is something that I'd like to put on the record as allowing our imagination as Tucsonans of, is there a different way? Administratively difficult, city clerk? Absolutely. But I know if we come up to that, you'll be up to the challenge.
If you don't mind, I would like to quickly define rough proportionality since we have a number of members in the audience who might not know exactly what the term means. So just to have it in the record, the idea is basically whatever percentage of the city that is minority, meaning people who marked that they are not white only on the United States Census, that percentage should be roughly equal to the percentage of wards that are majority-minority, which again is defined as non-white, people who do not put white only on the census. 45% of Tucson is minority under that definition. And so the rough proportionality principle says that roughly 45% of our wards should be majority-minority. Right now, two of our six wards are majority-minority, which is 33%. So we're undershooting by 12%. If we added one more, we would then be at 3 out of 6, which is 50%. We would then be overshooting by 5%, but 5% is less than 12%, so that would be closer to achieving the rough proportionality principle. So just wanted to put that out there for context. Of course, if we added, you know, a seventh ward or an eighth ward, as my colleague just suggested, that would change the math and make it easier to get a little bit closer to that exactly 45% value. I share the concern that that would be difficult to do in 3 weeks, but just wanted to mention that so that people in the audience understand the idea behind that principle. Thank you.
Chairman Crum, Clerk Meisch, I'm grateful to my colleagues to my left who mentioned the idea that we have to make a decision in 3 weeks. I'd like to see what we can do about extending the deadline. I'm 21 years old. I'm going to be in the city for the next 40, 50, 60 years. I want to see what we can do to make sure that we have equitable and a sustainable wards here. I'd love to see what we can do about adding two more wards to make sure that we can get creative and make sure that we have representation all across the board. So I'd like to see what city staff has to say about my idea of extending the deadline.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I think Jennifer Stash from the city attorney's office can address how to add wards to the city.
In order to add an additional ward, in the charter that there are six wards, so it would require an election. It's not something that's within the capacity of this group to be able to do so.
Thank you.
Chairman Crum, colleagues, I would like to extend my appreciation for all you being here this evening. I think it's crucial that we do get input from our public. And I would like to thank our chairman for suggestion that we have, and the rest of my colleagues, that we have a public hearing as soon as possible. We just got started on this about 3 weeks ago. And you folks are getting the information as we're getting it. So we're not trying to rush it. I agree with my colleagues that we should extend it, and hopefully it's accepted that we put some thought into it, as well as hearing from the public. It is important. I mean, it affects all the hard work that you folks have done in your districts, in your wards, and I think we should take that into consideration as well. So with that, I turn it.
Well, one of my jobs is to state the facts as clearly as they can and to facilitate the conversation without telling you what you should do. So one of the things that from the city charter, and you've already stated this is the priority. to the extent reasonably practicable. Wards shall be equal in population and shall be contiguous in impact. So that's our charge. As to the number of wards, this has come up before. And the problem, as indicated, is do we have the time to do that? The city charter requires that the mayor and council adopt the plan by December 31st, 2020. So the last meeting of the mayor and council before that date is the 20th of December. So, and I'd like to discuss this with my council member as well and whoever else. Can that be done? And I don't mean that rhetorically. I just mean that, you know, is it achievable? In the alternative, there are other things we can do that I haven't noticed this really in any of the former documents from any other committee saying other considerations. And we may want to say that in the strongest way that we would like the mayor and council to consider the addition of wards at smaller populations, as was said. But to go to an election, that doesn't seem like it's doable. But let's explore ways and concepts, alternatives that are doable and not just leave them out in the air as others have done. But that's just a consideration.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thank you for those comments. I do think we should address some of the comments we've heard from the audience today and our large stacks of emails that we've received. I've done an unofficial tally, and we had 31 people from the Broadmoor Broadway Village neighborhood, as well as the 11 that joined us today that I counted. Apologies if I miscounted anything, but that was by far the largest group of people giving feedback from a given neighborhood. We also got 33 emails regarding the historic downtown area opposing proposal number 3. And then we got another 8 or so today. I also want, as the Ward 3 representative, I'd like to convey the concerns of council member Kevin Dahl. He does not support proposal number 1 because it removes some of the west side districts that he's been working very closely with over the past year from his ward. In particular, he sent us a letter. I think we've all had a chance to see that, but just to reiterate some of the points in there, Council Member Dahl has been a member of the City Council for almost a year now, and he spent a lot of time and money working with those precincts. I'm specifically referring to Precinct 153 and some of the ones in that area that would be transferred to Ward 1 under Proposal Number 1. There's a lot of programs in the city that have funding for various things, and the city councilors work with the neighborhoods to kind of distribute that money and figure out exactly which streets it would be most useful on, including the Storm to Shade program, Tucson Clean and Beautiful, ARPA, Back to Basics, and a number of others that Councilmember Dahl has been working with those neighborhoods on. And so he feels that moving those out of his ward, right when he basically just started working with them and it's still an ongoing process, would be unfortunate. I don't want to take too much time with this comment, but basically Ward 3 does not support Proposal 1, primarily for that reason. And, Proposal 1 is also the one that the Broadmoor Broadway neighborhood opposes. And that was the largest group, that spoke up about any of this. So I think we should consider just scrapping Proposal 1. That one, it's also by far the most disruptive overall. If you just look at the number of wards the number of precincts that would be moved, it's by far the largest, and yet it's essentially the same as the others in terms of getting the overall MPD, which is the population discrepancy. Those are all, you know, around the 2 or 3% range, which is well below the 10% that is mandated by the federal court system. So I think Proposal 1 should be scrapped. Thank you.
Just as an additional consideration, we don't have to adopt any proposal in total. So if we want to, we can modify any of the proposals we've received. And certainly as it relates to, for example, 1, my council member feels pretty strongly about maintaining precinct 42, which is what, North University and what other. But that doesn't mean we cannot take other parts of that proposal. And I noticed, for example, there we have precincts 98, 105, and 113, for example. My council member is saying, well, in the spirit of going for the low-hanging fruit first of all and keeping things simple, he's prepared to let those go. And the important thing about what this is all about, the conversation to me, is if we're mixing and matching and trading and all of that, the city's clerk's office can do a calculation right now, real time, and tell us what the impact of those suggestions we may have in moving wards around. Meaning, and I say this in terms of, I look through a lot of what prior commissions did, and then we're dealing with split precincts. But depending upon what other commissions did, they're all over the map. So we're pretty much free to do what we want to do in terms of the placement of precincts in particular wards, as long as we don't exceed or meet that 10%. So I say that not, hopefully not to confuse things, but to say we can talk and we should, and it doesn't matter. We necessarily shouldn't be driven by any proposal. And I say that not necessarily to say that, you know, we shouldn't adopt one of the proposals. We can, but we can do some modifying if we want to. Thank you.
So certainly I'm not ready to adopt any proposal today. We have a few weeks of work together. But I do want to ask Madam Clerk about Proposal 1, including the meeting the objectives of the deviation and no split precincts. Hearing the public, that didn't seem to bother people, the split precincts, as long as the wards were intact. Could you speak to that a little bit, and why was that important as a criteria in Proposal 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. One of the goals of redistricting is to try and eliminate splits as much as possible. When we were just coming up with Proposal 1, we found that if we got rid of all of the splits, we had a good MPD, a nice low one. However, that is certainly not the most critical factor for you to use to decide on redistricting. We've had split precincts for decades, and we know how to manage them during an election.
And if I may add, we can say, add these split precincts. Don't bother with them at all, or place split precincts elsewhere. So at least on one commission that was dealing with split precincts and other things, their MPD was something like 7%. They actually increased that and presented that to the mayor and council, and it was adopted. And I say that not to be argumentative, but to say, wow, we have room to talk. And although it does say eliminate, try to eliminate split precincts, it doesn't say how many, which ones, or if any.
Chair Crum, I want to touch on two points. One, 2-3 comments ago, you mentioned about the timeline that we have. I believe it's important to note that we are very rushed, and next time around, I hope that it doesn't have to be that way. So, with all due respect to our city staff here, I would hope that the timeline for redistricting the next go around begins a lot sooner so that we can have concrete conversations without a pressing deadline, because I know we're talking about very bold and big ideas this evening. And secondly, my colleague, Mr. Hendel and Chairman Crum, we looked at the maps, right, and certain precincts. And when we're going through all these different proposals, I'm noticing the suggested precincts for redistricting are on the edges of the wards. I want to remind my colleagues that we have to, I don't want to go with the status quo. A lot of these wards are going back and forth every 2 years. I don't believe that's sustainable, nor is it equitable. So I would like to remind my colleagues and ask my colleagues, let's look at something different and echo my colleague, Dr. Alvarez, is his comments, that let's reimagine these precincts and go big with what these wards should look like these next 2 years.
I think I absolutely agree with you about the time schedule. And I think the first folks with that would agree to that is the city clerk's office. And part of that is that we're not always in control of the schedule, for example, if you would.
I think I mentioned this at the first meeting, but for people in the audience, redistricting starts at the state level, and it was a tough year. And still, I don't think all issues have been resolved in court yet. I could be wrong. After the state has redistricted, it goes to the county, where they are the ones who draw the precincts and do their own redistricting. They finished in July, and that put us behind to begin with, and then to get the committee compiled took some additional time. So, yes, I would like nothing better than to have much more time in the future, and we'll do everything I can to see that that happens.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Oh, Attorney. Yes.
Chair Crum, Madam Clerk, members of the committee, just to supplement, the question is a very useful one earlier, though, about possibly extending your time. And just for everybody to have full information, agreeing with everything that's been said, the charter requires that the mayor and council redistrict by December 31st of this year. Now, your operating ordinance, as of now, says you have until November 30th to give a recommendation. In theory, that can be, not just in theory, it can be extended by mayor and council if they want to pass an ordinance. The problem is, as was pointed out, there's the last meeting they'll actually have this year is December 20th. So just remember, if you lengthen your time, you're shortening their time. So that, I just want everybody aware of that. Thank you.
I have some questions of clarification. Two questions. One, can we split a precinct? That's my first question.
And I think
the short answer,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, is yes, you could.
Okay. My other question is, in the MPD deviation, 13.4 is above what Supreme Court standard gives us of 10%, but Proposal 1 gives us 2%. Well, we have still room there for some changes, and still you can be at 3%, 4%, 5%. You can go up to 9%. 9.5% and still have compliance with the standard. So there's a lot of wiggle room there. Could you speak to that, Madam Clerk, in terms of the range of possibilities that we have in that?
And our attorneys could probably speak better, but the MPD, the deviation that's been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court is 10%. And anything at that or below is considered
presumptively, if I may, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, presumptively valid. And then this is all a bit of a numbers game because it's all precedents. Between about 10 and 17, there's no presumption of validity. If somebody challenges you, you're going to have to defend it. And then above 17 is presumptively invalid. That's just based on case law precedent. What the cases that have come before them. But you do have lots of room up to the 10%, certainly.
I wonder if we should consider something that just brings us down to 9% with, like, extremely minimal changes. Or I don't, because, like, no one's complaining about the current situation, right? We don't have anybody here. I haven't seen any emails that said, we want to move to a different ward. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the only problem with the status quo is that the MPD is within that range where we could be challenged and we'd have to defend it. So what if we just made the fewest possible changes that we could in order to bring us down below 10%?
But that's not the only. We also would have to contend with rough proportionality and voter dilution of Hispanic voters, at least, for example, no one has mentioned Ward 2, where there seems to be a real disproportionality there. Since they're not here, we can just take it all from them. Just kidding. I'm saying that's a really good point, but I think that we would still have to address those other mandates a little bit with it, but it seems to me like we have some wiggle room to get up to 9.5 if we needed to in the deviation and still see how the numbers, and that may not be done tonight. Our next meeting, we may all be on the board and then do what Chairman Crum says. It's like, what if this one was? What if, and then just play in real time with the numbers.
I thought that was an excellent question about can we split precincts? And we can. Now, why that's germane to me, and we're talking about numbers, it's going to sound maybe crazy. But as it relates to Precinct 42, I believe that's composed, and that's one of the things that Steve Kozacik felt strongly about. But it's composed of North University and Feldman's. Feldman's happens to be a historic district. So he told me it's Feldman's that he really wants to keep. It's not necessarily North University. And those are not minority necessarily neighborhoods. So we might consider doing that where it's reasonable to do that.
Isn't that how it is now?
Pardon me?
Is that how it is right now? If you look at the base map, 42 is already split with Feldman in Ward 6 and the north of that in Ward 3, correct?
It's one in one precinct. But if you look at the neighborhoods, within that precinct, there are two neighborhoods. And my council member would like to keep one of them and give the other one to your council member. And your council member didn't mention.
But would it be giving it to Ward 3 or just it's already in Ward 3? That's the current, what you're describing is how it is right now.
And the recommendation, though, is that it go to Ward 3.
We could keep that ward split. I mean, keep that precinct split the way it is now. I don't think that would be considered creating a split precinct. It would just be keeping the precinct split in exactly the way that it currently is. And that sounds fine to me. I would be okay with that. I wonder if we could create, like, it seems like proposal number 2 is the least controversial of the three, but it's not wholly uncontroversial mostly because of Feldman. So what if we did proposal 2, but keeping precinct 42 split the way that it currently is and the way that our chairman just suggested his council member would like it to stay? I bet we'd still be way below 10%.
Do you like us to bring that up?
Absolutely.
Make that change.
I think at that point we would at least have something that no one so far has voiced opposition to. But correct me if I'm wrong about that. For members of the audience, that if you look at the TV screen up there, they're doing this in real time, so soon you'll be able to see what that would look like. Yes, my broader point is that I think it is possible to create a map that no one has opposed so far. A map that moves precincts enough to bring us below 10%, but does not move any precincts that have expressed concerns at this hearing or in the emails. And of course, we're going to continue the hearing, and I would not be surprised if we do get some opposition at that one, but it's an iterative process, and that would at least be progress towards a consensus map.
Do we know what the minority population of that particular precinct is?
Nonetheless, this is an excellent discussion. Thank you.
I do have that. Let me pull that up. Or if staff has that. Precinct 42, total population 9,300. The minority population is 3,300, and so that's about what, a third? 3,358 minority, 9,351 total.
That offers an interesting math on 42, because if we were to split it, for the demographic minority, right now, Ward 3 is 34.5 Hispanic. If you added, if you began to add more to Ward 3, you could have the chance of making that closer to a 40, to a closer majority Hispanic, which will accomplish. And that would be the best, most logical thing is to increase that because you have 34.5. That would be in one. Oh, I see what you see. Okay, proposal two then.
Base map.
On the base map.
Right,
I see, 36.
That's what it is.
Okay, then let me rethink that then. I was looking at the wrong map.
So the change was made on the map that's on the monitor, and I think some of you have it on your laptops. You can see in the upper right corner the blue is the overall city MPD, keeping precinct 42 as a split in proposal number two.
So that is no longer below. So that went from 3% to nearly 12% just by not. All right. Well, thank you for putting that together. I'm surprised, but that's how the math works. So that's not going to be a viable option.
Unless you make other changes on that same proposal.
Right.
But couldn't you move some precincts, I don't know which one, on proposal two from Ward 1 to Ward 3? So, for example, if you added precinct 37 to 3, and even possibly precinct 97, Silver Bell, Speedway, and Grant areas, which would probably add to the minority count. You, in other words, what I'm saying is take it from the robust ward that has the strongest minority and give it to the next possible ward that could go majority. So the only way to do that will be take it from one, give it to three.
Yeah, I want to ask a clarification question for staff. The rough proportionality principle that we've been discussing, which says that 45% of our wards should be majority-minority, is the, first of all, how binding is that? Is that, because that's not on the same level as the federal Supreme Court ruling that you can't have, you know, less than 10%, like it's beneath that in terms of how legally binding it is, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. But also I'm wondering, does it have to be mathematically perfect? Like, do you just have to round to the nearest matching number of wards? And so it's 45% would round up to 50%. And right now we're at 33%, so we're undershooting by too much. Or is it instead just that you have to be like within one of the, does anybody know? I'm guessing no one actually has a firm answer to this, but just curious.
So, Mr. Chair, Madam Clerk, members of the committee, I'll take a stab. You are absolutely right that the rough proportionality is not at the same constitutional level as, say, MPD. As to your second question, but it is something for you to consider. And that's kind of to your second question. I don't think it's meant to be like there's some mathematical right or wrong. It's a concept for you to be considering as best you can within the framework of the other concepts. I hope that helps.
Thank you. That is very helpful. I guess I think that if we had only one majority-minority ward, that would be a huge problem because then we'd be at, way below the 45%. Or if we had five majority-minority wards, we'd be way overshooting the percent of the city that's a minority. But it seems to me that two or three out of six are both at least acceptable, if not necessarily optimal. But I think we could leave it as it is, and no one could say, "Oh, you're dereliction of duty. You know, you're not following that principle." And creating a third would be closer, but still not perfect.
I wonder if you have any insights about Ward 1. What would it mean to change precinct 37 and 97? And we don't have to decide today. We can consult with council member Santa Cruz. But 37 and 97, if they were moved to Ward 3, what would happen there?
So we have that up on the map. Reduce the previous MPD down to 9.57, if I can read that correctly.
What would be the impact on the ward in total minority then?
Can somebody read the numbers? I can't see from here, sorry.
With moving precinct 37 and 97 from Ward 1 into Ward 3, it moves the plan deviation up to 13.01%.
And right now, Ward 1 is already too small as it is in the base map in the current situation. So we can't move too many people out of Ward 1 without bringing even more people into it. Otherwise, we're going to have trouble with our total deviation percentage.
Yeah, the deviation doesn't help, doesn't accomplish what we need.
That's the tricky thing. In theory, if you wanted to make a third majority-minority ward, you'd move people from 1 to 3. But 1 is already too small. You can't move too many people out of it. So there's not really a clean way to do it. As Suzanne mentioned, creating that third majority-minority ward is really difficult, and I can see why.
Well, here's another consideration, if I may. It's not to confuse things, but it's just to be, see, make it visible to everyone. And that is the changes that we would have of what the change would be upon the neighborhood or neighborhoods where we're changing precincts. And a previous group, and indeed this is later adopted by the mayor and council, they wrote, although neither the Tucson Charter nor Tucson Code provide for a review of this type of impact, that is the impact it would have upon the neighborhood, the committee felt it was an important consideration in maintaining the established and recognizable ward boundaries with a minimum of disruption. Point in time, if we do make a change in terms of where a precinct may be, we need to go back to the count, my opinion. We need to go back to the council member and also announce it to the neighborhood, my opinion, in terms of to see what their feelings would be about that. And it may be nothing.
Thank you. I think that there's a couple of other possibilities that I'd like to see. for example, Precinct 72 on Proposal 2, what if that went to Ward 3? Potentially, you could also do Precinct 99 and 107. That seems to be kind of a contiguous cultural area, if you think about it, through Pima, Albernon, Craycroft, Swan. There's something there, 72, 99, 107. So you would be taking from Ward 2. To, again, my goal here is to get, my goal is to, the most economical path for an increased majority would be to build it on Ward 3.
But I think those precincts are all not majority-minority, so that would actually make it further from having a third majority-minority precinct. If staff could correct me. If I'm wrong, let me know. But from this chart, it looks like those three wards are all majority-majority. Would that be the right term? Majority-majority?
Hmm. I was never so good at math.
So it looks like moving 72, 99, and 107 into Ward 3 left us with an MPD of 11.83 and minority population of 43. Can you read that? Oh, one more change. Got it.
Yeah, it looks like to do what I'm trying to do, you have to then keep moving the pieces and do it clockwise and move another one, and then you may, which may be okay to do. I don't know. Maybe I'm on the right track. Maybe I'm not. I'm not sure. But we may play with that. But I don't think we can accomplish it tonight.
Getting on with another consideration, perhaps. Precinct 43, and I go back to the first proposal, and moving that from Ward 6 as it is now into Ward 3, what would be the impact of that?
Currently, Precinct 43 is in Ward 3. And by the way, that's one of the ones that Councilmember Dahl has invested a tremendous amount of money and time into. So he would be opposed to losing that one.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm assuming that if public comments are going to continue to next week, probably going to have to push out another proposal ideally, or is the goal of this committee to use the comments to further guide our drawings of the wards? Because if so, I'd like to get an idea of what the timeline is. This way we can allow for public comment. But secondly, if we're going to go back to like our council members and ask them for suggestions, and we bring those suggestions with us to the next meeting, like I just want to get an idea of where the committee's feeling on this, because we haven't said, I love the ideas being discussed, but we haven't said anything in stone. This way folks can come prepared with their thoughts.
That's a really good question. I think what we're getting at is that we are respecting, we're trying to do what the neighbors are asking us to do for in Ward 6, specifically Precinct 82. I think that we're all feeling like Look, just to focus on that precinct, it's just sort of, it's just a symbolic violence that we don't need to do and mess with, you know? But there are other edges where we can chip away and move around. And I think that's what we're trying to do. And maybe there's something incredibly important that I don't know that has happened at the edge of Craycroft and Pima, you know, that is not here tonight and we don't know. But I haven't heard that, and neither do I envision it from my knowledge of Tucson in the way that I envision Armory Park, downtown, and Broadway. You see what I'm saying? So trying to see what, where is wiggle room on the edges of those things moving clockwise that will give us both things, a protection of the, every acknowledging what we heard tonight and also still trying to accomplish our goals. That's kind of what I'm trying to do. I think that's what we're trying to do. And like I said, maybe that's not fair to those people who are not here tonight and we don't have exactly, but the areas we heard from are really kind of like core areas of identity and belonging in the city as opposed to some of the outer suburbs.
Well, I may, although Ward 6 does not support the proposal of the third proposal. The third proposal is saying, well, they'd like two of the wards, two of the precincts for, from Ward 6 and say trade for precinct 105. Do you see where 105 is? It's way southeast. So if that gives any room for some thought as well, necessarily they don't have to be contiguous in terms of coming up with thoughts.
I think by far the two largest blocks of public opposition we've had are from the Broadmoor Broadway Village, which is 82, and the historic districts, which is 44 and 45, which is like the downtown area, and the historic district there. And those are, that's why a lot of Ward 6 members are opposing proposals number 1 and 3. What if we took proposal 3 and just kept 44 and 45 where they are? I'm guessing that would not bring us down below the 10%, but because that would only be moving one precinct, which is 105. Probably wouldn't do it. But that would give us a map that everyone agrees on, although it might be illegal. but could we look at that just as a point of perspective? Proposal number 3, where you don't move 44 and 45. It seems like if that's legal, that would give us one that no one has voiced any opposition to so far. It okay, doesn't.
One
really...
more time, what are you doing? Saying do with 44 and 45.
I was suggesting that we don't move those.
Don't do anything.
Yeah, because a lot of people from those precincts have voiced staunch opposition.
Very good. Thank you.
In that sense, I would be willing to go with the earlier comment that we pretty much are not feeling that we're going to advance with Proposal 1. There's a consensus here that Proposal 1 doesn't get us to where we need to be.
I agree.
I'm interested in learning about the feelings from Ward 5. I know there's a few precincts that are very close to Ward 6. I'm curious to see if those thoughts can further guide our conversation about what was discussed this evening, and as well as increasing minority population in wards that have a deficit.
You can see on the map that keeping 44 and 45 in Ward 6 moves the MPD back up to 13.29%, and in addition, makes the population deviation much higher in Ward 6.
Okay. Well, it was worth a shot. Thank you for trying.
So if were that, was that the case, what if Ward 6 were to give up either 98, 105, or 113, or all, to either Ward 2, or in this case, my idea is that the minority populations are probably rather high in those three precincts, and giving them to Ward 5, which may help the clockwise strategy.
I think they're more contiguous to Ward 4.
And Ward 4 is already too large right now, so if we add a lot to them, we have to take even more out of them, which would mean giving that to Ward probably 5.
Well, a few years ago, by the way, they actually did belong to Ward 4.
I'm feeling like maybe... Well, I'm feeling like I need to get home, but I'm also feeling like we are starting to repeat ourselves in the way in which we're trying to do the math and the maps. And I think that the hearing is still open. The recording will be available of what we're thinking. We are very much in an active moment of deliberation and openness. I think we should come with a fresh mindset next week, and then look at some of where we left these things tonight. But
I, with all due respect, I guess I think we need to make a little more progress or have some kind of motion or additional maps or something, just because we basically have 3 weeks left, and we need to have another public hearing. I feel like the best way to do this would be for us to agree on one map, have a public hearing on that specific map with at least a full week, if not more, of notice to the public, because probably half the comments we've gotten involved only having a matter of days or in some cases mere hours to study the map before having to make a comment. And I think if we just leave right now, we don't really, I'm not sure we'll have anything new next week, right? I mean, I see your point, though. It is getting late, but I mean, I think we could move forward with proposal number 2. That's the only, there was some opposition to that, but just in terms of the numbers, neither the Broadway Village nor the historic neighborhoods in Ward 6 would be affected, and those were the ones that we had the most participation by. Ward 3 would not lose their precincts that they've put so much time and money into. It's not perfect, but it seems like it's by far the least controversial of the three.
I could support that, and maybe we can tweak. So I like to focus on proposal 2. I agree that is the one that has more consensus. It leaves intact the areas that are especially sensitive. But I'd like to push a little bit more for a greater, for the Hispanic rough proportionality, and see how we accomplish that, kind of hovering around the 10%. Is there a way, Madam Clerk, where you can see that happening?
I'd like to make a suggestion to the committee that we work on a map for a meeting a week from today, that we get it out to the public by Tuesday, because it will take us some time tomorrow and Monday. But Thursday of next week, it's still a public meeting. You would be able to do some work and include call to the audience rather than having a public hearing. Maybe there would be some comments from the audience or some ideas, and then have another public hearing 2 weeks from today with hopefully a more finalized proposal that's a little closer to being approved.
I like the timeline.
Make a motion, or is it okay to just to let the city clerk to proceed as she mentioned?
Well, first we should decide if we want to do that. I guess I like the timeline that you suggested. I'm just not sure which proposal. So I believe you mentioned that staff was having very understandable difficulties creating a third majority minority ward. Are you correct? Just to clarify, are you suggesting that you continue working on that and have something by Tuesday, and then that's what we would be voting on? Or just to clarify?
I'm not sure that a third majority minority ward would be possible without moving, as I mentioned, tens of thousands of people. And so that does take some time. Even working clockwise and counterclockwise, we were trying that with ward, I think it was 2 and 3. So I'm thinking more in terms of if you're going to use proposal 2 as what is now the base map to continue working towards the goals of the committee, using that map, if you want us to come up with some alternatives or some other moves, we can do that. It's much more helpful to hear what you're thinking and what the public has mentioned tonight so that we can work towards accomplishing those.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I think that I would accept proposal 2 with the motion. But I would say that the goal, I don't think we will get the minority population or the Hispanic population in District 3, in Ward 3, for example, to the level that matches a majority-minority. But we may be able to increase it by tweaking clockwise Ward 2 and 4 is where we would take some. And, you know, we will recognize that in doing that, we're leaving 2 and 4 even more white. But if we build up 3 by taking some minor, you know, so that would be the goal. I don't think it will be minority completely, but it may go from 35% Hispanic to maybe 40, you know, something like that. I'm not sure, but that would be acceptable to me, that to proceed with 2 and then propose those tweaks, as you mentioned, in that timeline.
Madam Clerk, I'll let you proceed.
I was just going to say that our wonderful map person, Randy, has said that for clarification, using the iteration of Proposal 2, with Precinct 42 still split and putting 72 in Ward 3 moves the MPD down a little below 10%. So I don't know if you want us to include that in what we're drafting for next week or not, but let us know.
Yeah, it would be good to see that. I mean, that means we'd probably need to do this whole thing again in a couple of years because we'd drift above 10%. But, you know, that's someone else's problem.
We could also, at that time, when we send our recommendations, say this is the best we can do now, mayor and council, and here are 2 ideas that are bold and out of the, and for you to consider that before you get to the next redistricting.
But still meet the United States Constitution.
I agree with that. Madam Clerk, I would like to know if there's anything on the record from previous years where a majority-minority ward was proposed, or is this relatively new to this process?
As far as I know, it's relatively new to the process and was not part of the proposal or consideration in the past because it is so new. rough proportionality was just approved as an ordinance by Mayor and Council a few months ago. So this is the first redistricting process where it's fully in place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Going to what you just mentioned, however, in the past, another party was wanting another ward because they thought it would be, they would be represented by, their party would be more represented by adding that particular ward. But it didn't go to any minority, majority kind of consideration. It went to a strictly political consideration.
Mm-hmm.
No. But it did come up.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with my colleagues regarding, working clockwise. But I would also like to entertain the idea and see how my colleagues feel about seeing a map with a majority-minority ward for the record to help guide future conversations around redistricting. I think this would be helpful, not just this time around, but 2 years from now. Is this something my colleagues would be willing to entertain? I know we don't have, I don't think we have a formal motion on the floor.
Do you mean even if it's above 10%?
I'm sorry?
I think they tried to do that already and couldn't while keeping it below 10%. So do you mean making a map even if it is above 10% just for reference?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Suzanne did mention that, that kind of ward probably could be put together, but it will be really complex. And it may be, I don't know how much time it's going to take, but it's going to take a bajillion years and it's to be doable. It may not be doable, but if it is, we may go back to the additional consideration part of our proposal to the mayor and council to say, this could be done, but it would take an awful lot of work, and give them, at least it presents to them, the idea of what it would take to do it in the future. Does that sound reasonable?
I know that for Mayor Romero, the important point here is as much the principle as it is the outcome. And if the principle is duly noted in our intention to understand voter dilution, Hispanic voter dilution, which is a statewide issue. And if we make attempts to indicate that we're moving in consideration of that, even though in this time frame we're not able to fully accomplish it, I think we would have, from the mayor's point of view, accomplished a very important step. The population of the city is likely to grow. Again, we'll be doing this, and we need to watch for that element as it continues to evolve. Otherwise, we would be in essentially segregating the Hispanic vote continuously for the next decade to only two wards as the city grows and expands. I think that principle can be affirmed and move the needle a little bit this time without fully accomplishing it, and that would be important.
Mr. Chair, I believe Mr. Robles made a motion.
Yes. I would like to make a motion that in addition to, or was there a motion formulated by?
May I say something?
Oh, yes, please.
To come up with a proposal that causes the least deviation to meet our target, if that's all possible.
Is there a second?
Well, just to clarify, by least deviation, you mean least movement to create?
Yeah, we're at right now and tweaking the numbers at the lowest percentage that we can to meet our goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think there would be a lot of ways to do that. So do we want to? I agree. I think that's a good idea.
I mean, because we could be here all night going back and forth.
Yeah.
Until we come up with some sort of snapshot.
And by the way,
and then go to the next step.
You're not saying we have to go with it. You just like to see the proposal of how that would be accomplished.
I think I would support that, but we should give staff a little bit more guidance because I feel like there's probably 100 ways to do that to just bring us down to 9.9%.
There was a proposal earlier that I saw that the target was about 9.57, right?
Yeah, what was that?
That one would be about where we want to be. That and that's not scrutinizing the out of movement, if I'm mistaken.
Yeah. What was the one that was 9.5? It was keeping 42.
That's meeting our target pretty much where we want to be.
Yeah, it was keeping 42 split and moving 72 from being split to ward
3. Right.
So it was base map 2, but leaving 42 alone and moving 72 to ward 3. Is that what that one was?
There you go. That's the one right
there. Yeah, that's worth considering.
From this snapshot, we can carry our conversation.
Yeah.
So there's a motion. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Favor, say aye.
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 Motion has been carried and carried. Motion has been made and carried.
So just to clarify, that was just to create the map and consider it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
I believe Mr. Robles still has a motion that he's been trying to make.
No, it's okay. I would like to also move that staff create a map with a third majority minority ward for the sake of the principle of this creation that can help guide further conversations around redistricting.
For the future?
For the future, yes.
Just there, a second.
Second.
And do you want to add that it doesn't have to be...
Discussion.
Oh, okay. I'll wait. Oh, okay. I think we should add to that motion that it's up to you, but we could add to that motion that it doesn't have to be below 10% because it's just for future planning. That would make it easier for staff who have already been trying to do that. So I guess I'll make a friendly amendment.
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. I make a friendly amendment that this map does not need to have less than 10% MPD.
I support that because I think that Commissioner Robles is saying, let's just look at it and see what that would look like. And if it's messy and it disrupts a whole bunch of things or it goes above the, that's fine. We just want to have it as an option to say, this is what it would take. And then council and mayor can say, oh, okay. So I believe that's your intent.
Yes, it is, Commissioner Alvarez.
Is that amendment acceptable?
Yes, it is.
All right. All in favor of the motion as a...
Aye.
Aye.
Motion adopted. Thank you. Motion adopted. Thank you.
Chair Crum,
yes.
I would like to make one more motion, and this is in regards to the comments around transparency and whatnot. I would like to move to make these meetings live streamed on YouTube and whatever other platforms so that we can have every sort of possibility around transparency around our redistricting meetings.
I second that.
Discussion?
Quick discussion. Is that actually possible?
We'll have to work with our PIOs on that. I think it will be possible. Especially that we'll have enough notice to do that. We'll also have the meetings on Teams. We won't be able to open it up for public discussion through Teams, but at least people can watch it on YouTube.
That seems pretty unobjectionable.
Say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. You're on a roll.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
That went better than I thought it was going to go.
Next. Should we... Oh, sorry. Still thinking. I still feel like we don't really have a plan A moving into next week. We do have a couple of nice peripheral options, but if the previous motion is above 10%, we can't pick that one. And this 9.57% is really good. It's worth discussing, but there's some drawbacks to it. Namely that we would have to redo this whole process in 2 years, right?
4 years.
Actually, 2026.
Oh, okay. That's
actually
better.
Mr. Chair, Madam Clerk, as I read the charter, I think it is 2 years.
My understanding is that it was every 4 years plus an additional one 2 years after the census.
And beginning with 2000 and quadrennially thereafter, so 24, okay. The 6 times 4.
So we would just be kicking the can, most likely, which is fine. We could. There's something to be said for a strategy of every 2 to 4 years, we do as little as possible to be legally compliant and create minimal disruption. That's fine, but we should discuss the pros and cons of that approach because, you know, there are cons to that. But what do people think about that?
Any other discussion?
Well, I think that it's up to us also when we make our final recommendations to say we don't want you to look at the next 2 years just as status quo, leave it alone, and then kick the can. We could also say we are doing this now in compliance, and then we urge council to immediately begin a task force or study group that will look at all of these issues in preparation of 2 years from now. And that could also be part of our recommendations.
Right. So we have a few motions that will be discussed next time in terms of item 5, future agenda items.
I think
is there any other agenda items we would like next time?
We should at least consider saying we won't do certain things so as to avoid getting everybody upset without needing to. Maybe that's a delicate topic, but if there were a certain precinct that we all agreed should not be moved, we could make a motion to say, look, no matter what we end up doing, we won't move that one. Now, that has risks. That limits ourselves. But it would result in a lot of people not needing to write emails and attend meetings and stuff. It might be helpful to the public if we give some assurances that we won't do certain things. I don't know. What do we think about the merits of that?
Mr. Chair, my main concern is to focus on the task at hand that we have now and make the recommendation for future agendas that might come up due to what we're doing now. But to us to go back and forth, I believe, is a waste of time for us right now. The main focus is the task at hand, and we should just focus on that for now.
So are we prepared now to discuss the next meeting date and time?
Speaking up to my colleague, I don't think that we need, I think people will read, this will be available, people can understand our intentions and our conversation here, delivers a message of how we want to proceed and how we value the input. I don't think we lock ourselves in because we don't know what we'll see a week from here, from now or 2 weeks, but I think the intent of this commission and the integrity that we are proceeding with should be apparent. Mm-hmm.
So are we going to set a meeting date and time, or do we want, for example, when is the public hearing going to be that we extended from tonight?
I think the original plan was to meet on Thursdays at 5:30. And you can schedule additional meetings during a week if that would help you get the work done.
I think we should. I don't know the details of how public hearings work from a legal perspective, but I'd like to have some opportunity for members of the community to speak at every one of our meetings, whether it's at the beginning or the end. I don't really have a strong preference. I guess beginning would probably be better because then we can discuss what they say. So can we have a public hearing before each of our next two meetings? Or does it have to just be one? Does staff have any guidelines on what's allowed there?
It takes several days in advance of a public hearing to get a display ad in the paper. That's we'll get the word out through our PIOs, through our office, and news releases. You can do that. We can have a public hearing this time next week and the following week. And if that's your desire. Oh, I'm sorry. And we do have call to the audience on the agenda, which is not the same as a public hearing, but in this case, you're studying one subject. I'm sure most of the call to the audience would relate to what you're doing.
That sounds good. So, members of the committee, what do we have until November 30th, but the 24th is Thanksgiving. We're not going to meet that day. So if we just do Tuesdays, we only have two more meetings total. We have the 10th and the 17th. Yeah, so if we don't meet on Thanksgiving, which I'm sure we all agree, we're not going to do that.
I could.
On Thanksgiving?
I don't have a life.
We'll just have a feast right here, turkey.
No, okay.
But if that's the case, we only have the 10th and the 17th. We have 2 weeks to finish this whole process. We could meet again like after Thanksgiving, like on the 30th, on Wednesday the 30th, which is the final deadline.
So Suzanne, you've got some homework to do for us. Do you think you could provide that information to us for discussion?
The way I understand the direction, we will be using proposal 2 to tweak clockwise Ward 2 and Ward 4 to try and come up with the MPD and also entertain the majority-minority in that proposal, and then also create a map of a third majority-minority ward. That will take longer. Mm-hmm. I would rather be able to tell you that we can get you the map that we're talking about with proposal number 2 possibly Monday, the afternoon. That's something that we could put up on our website and put out through news releases also. The minority majority, I would just like to say we will continue to work on it and get it out as early as we can, but definitely at least 24 hours before the meeting, preferably 48. Then the other thing that Dennis reminded me is with a public hearing, there are legal requirements for publishing ads, and that's I started to mention that. If we could go with call to the audience next week, knowing that we're going to be recognizing people to speak on this issue, and then we could advertise a public hearing for the 17th with hopefully a proposal map or two that are closer to being finalized.
Matt,
I like that.
Chair Crum, Madam Clerk, if we make next week just call to the audience, are we still capable of advertising our meeting as if it were a public hearing?
Yes, the only difference is we would not be as advertising it through legal ads as a public hearing.
Okay.
We'll still put out news releases, try to get it out to the media, put it on our webpage, and do those sorts of outreach
that we do.
So, which means if the only difference is basically is it will not appear in the newspaper.
But also the current public hearing is not over. We voted to keep it going. So I'm wondering what the implications of that are. Like, is next, do we get to, is it just still going indefinitely, or do we get to decide when part two occurs?
You do get to decide when part two occurs, and you should set a date that gives us the advertising date okay. that we need, and also puts more notice out to the public.
Okay, I move that we schedule part two of the public hearing on Thursday, November 17th.
Second that.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
And I think we should also consider setting all of our meeting dates for the rest of the month now. Like, for example, we probably can't do anything the week of the 21st. That's Thanksgiving. Everybody's busy. Our deadline is the 30th. So maybe we should meet on the 30th or the 29th.
I propose an additional meeting on the 29th.
I second that.
What is the official deadline, like midnight on the 30th?
I'm sorry, I was consulting with the attorney. What was the question?
That's fine. The deadline is like the end of the day on the 30th?
Yes, and what we can do is come up with a shell report that's kind of in the format of the last couple of reports to Mayor and Council recommendations. So that we can plug in information as you're formulating the recommendation, hopefully bringing it here on the 29th and have it ready for you to sign on that day if you're ready to finalize it.
Okay. How much time would staff need between our committee voting to approve a given proposal and when you submit it to the mayor and council? Like, is it just done the moment we vote on it, or do you need a few days to finalize stuff?
Having worked on this a little bit before, and not well, but I have, I found that using the formats presented by former committees, that works very well. And in terms of filling in the details, hours, so it can be accomplished.
So if you sign it on November 29th, the next day we distribute it to Mayor and Council as your recommendation and schedule it for a Mayor and Council meeting for their consideration. I would like to give them some time in December so that they can hold a public hearing should they choose, as well as discussions during study session before we bring an ordinance back to them.
I want to say that I feel really good about our meeting today. I feel that we are in a general direction that is positive, that we are. So I feel like we will get this done. And what I mean by that is we have a proposal going forward. We have set aside the one that felt most offensive to the neighbors. We set that aside today, so we don't, you know, we're communicating that we have one that possibly accomplishes least disruption, gets the legal standard, and still pushes the needle on proportionality. So I think I feel good about that. We have the 10th, we have the 17th, where we can work until whatever time it is, as long as Madam Clerk orders some pizzas. Then we are setting up another day outside of that on the 29th to do even more. So I think that we can feel good about that process and how transparent we've been in our conversations today about our intentions.
The only minor amendment I would make is that we do have two members absent today, and we don't know if they're available. on the 29th. So can we have staff email the whole commission, the whole committee, and ask if we, like, a doodle poll or something for the 28th, 29th, and 30th, and see which of those days has the most possible attendance?
We can do that.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any way that we can hold our colleagues accountable? You know, I've got an essay to write, right? But, you know, here we are. I'm just sorry. Oh, public frustration. Sorry, folks.
You mean for being absent?
For being absent.
Yes. Yeah, because we accomplished a lot tonight. And, I mean, who knows what they're going to come with at our next meeting. Is there any precedent, Madam Clerk?
One person is sick tonight.
Okay.
One who hasn't been attending. If a person misses four meetings in a row or 40% of the meetings, are automatically removed from the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion before adjournment? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Make motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. We're out of here.
Thank you.